So hello, we will talk about SF, ELK, and OpenSUSE. My name is Denis Kondratenko. I work for SUSE in software-defined storage department as engineering manager.
So I'm Abhishek. I also work on Ceph at SUSE. I'm also the community release manager for Ceph. And yeah.
So I think that a lot of people already know what is the Ceph. Ceph is unified distributed storage system designed for excellent performance, reliability, and scalability. It actually implements object storage interface as well as block and file system interface to its distributed storage backend. Design it that without a single point of failure, scalable to exabyte level. Here you can see the picture that actually shows you a really brief Ceph architecture with object storage daemons, monitor daemons, as well as interfaces to Ceph, like block storage interface, file system interface, and object storage interface. It's actually Ceph is the cluster of nodes, and the question comes how to monitor or log it and everything else. ELK, what is the ELK? Probably everyone knows as well. So ELK stands for the Elasticsearch, Logstash, and Kibana. Here are listed couple of icons. So Logstash aggregates the data and parse it, tag it, or modify it, and then push it somewhere, for example, to Elasticsearch. ELK stores the data, indexes the data, and provides a RESTful interface to the data, so you can query it and search it. And Kibana actually provides you a nice interface to the data, so you can easily look into it, query it, and as well as make some graphics and analysis. As well, there is more packages in the ELK stack, for example, XPack, that provide some additional functionality like alerting and analyzing, as well as machine learning. OpenSUSE. So actually, we have tried OpenSUSE as well for this. We use that for our development machines. All these ELK stacks, as well as Ceph, inside the repositories in OpenSUSE, in the lib and tumbleweed, so you can install Ceph as well as ELK from it. Thanks to Klaus, he maintains the ELK stack, and yeah, it just works. You can do it like in traditional IT using the ELK, as well as installing Docker. I think that on Friday that was the Docker talk about the Kubik, so I think that's promising. Logging, why we need logs? So a lot of subsystem on the nodes, so we have a cluster, and a lot of subsystem in the nodes are logging their status and whatever issues they have, or warnings, or current situation. So it's a great idea to collect those logs in some central server to actually store it in query. And for traditional logs like syslog, you can use rsyslog or syslogng or other systems to forward these logs into the this central storage for the logs. Ceph as well supports Graylog format, so you can easily tune that, and it will forward your logs in GEL format to your external server. So why we need logs? The first point for us as engineers in storage department is the troubleshooting. So we can troubleshoot and find out what was the issue. So storing that is a really good idea for us. As well as you can analyze them and predict some issues. So this machine learning features in XPark is actually really promising. You can turn some rules, analyze your data, and find out maybe some patterns on it. Yeah, as I said, that syslog, I used actually rsyslog to forward all the syslog messages to my ELK stack cluster to actually analyze what we have, what happens in the system. So I can relate that data, for example, there will was some drivers failures or whatever kernel crashes. So I can get it all together to Ceph and then analyze the data, what actually caused the problem. Yeah, Logstash has great support for that. Syslog input filter as well as Grok, as well as Greylog. So you can turn Greylog for Ceph. It's naturally supported in Ceph. There is some parameters that you need in Ceph log. It's actually not documented. I don't know why, but it's there. These parameters, if you will put it in Ceph conf, then Ceph will forward the messages to your external Greylog server. And you can do it manually. Then you need to restart every server, every service in actually good manner, so node by node to not interrupt the service. Or you can use our DeepC software to do it automatically for you. There is the examples how you can do it. So, yeah, the Logstash provides a lot of functionality to parse those logs, to add set tags, add the indexes, and forward it to Elasticsearch. So we probably would like to extract some data ahead and put it in the right index in your Elasticsearch, and Logstash will give you this possibility. And that's actually pretty easy to do with ELK stack. Right now, I'm using it in Docker for my experiments. It's a couple of seconds to get the Docker cluster for ELK. And there are also, as well, some projects that already done it for you. It's actually just give one command and you will bring up your ELK cluster. Just need to add your Logstash and Jelf parsing for Ceph. Yeah, that's all from my part. It's an interesting project, and community already use ELK to store logs, but correctly index and parse the data is the interesting and big question, how to store it so you can analyze it later or predict the issues with machine learning. And ELK could be used not only for logging, as well as I seen there's some application that use it for monitoring and did it successfully. And another interesting application for ELK that we discovered recently is the metadata. And for metadata, I invite Abhishek to describe that.
Thanks for the Elasticsearch introduction, Dennis. So I'm going to talk about Redux Gateway and metadata search with Elasticsearch. So first I'll start with introducing what Redux Gateway itself is. So Redux Gateway, it's an object storage daemon that actually provides a HTTP, you know, REST API access to the Ceph cluster. So essentially it's some sort of a proxy that actually relays HTTP request onto lib Redux request, which is what the Ceph cluster actually speaks. And it's highly scalable and everything. It's horizontally scalable because we don't actually maintain any state in Redux Gateway as such. Everything is maintained in the Ceph cluster. So you can actually have multiple Redux Gateways running in parallel and then query the same Ceph cluster, and you know, you can scale that way. And so yeah, it's just basically a RESTful access to the Ceph cluster. You have user accounts, and then it's similar to the Amazon S3 or OpenStack Swift sort of an API. We implemented OpenStack Swift and S3 API for Redux Gateway mainly because like there is already a huge amount of client tooling for S3, and since it's been around for more than like 10 years or something like this, and nearly any object storage protocol would almost always speak S3, so we can always reuse the same tooling. So that is the reason we actually implemented the S3 API instead of actually writing one on our own, which means you'd have to write your own tools for this. And we support a lot of S3-like features. And the same features can be accessed via Swift, but there are some caveats. So we support stuff like multi-part uploads, object versioning. You can even download the object as a torrent. Then you have encryption, compression. You have bucket object life cycles. And then Newly, we started introducing this feature called metadata search with Elasticsearch. And from the GeoL release, which is the release which we have on Leap 42.2, we support something called multi-site, which allows for geographical redundancy of object storage. So as far as Ceph is concerned, everything is actually local to the Ceph cluster. So it's like if you want to actually replicate data across data centers or something like this, it's not very easy because writes have to be acknowledged by every client, and then that would actually take a long time if it's across geographies. So we introduced this feature called multi-site, where we actually asynchronously ship logs to the remote site, and then we can actually asynchronously replicate data to the remote Ceph cluster. And this Elasticsearch is built on top of that. So as far as Elasticsearch is concerned, as the tagline says, you know, for search, it's a search engine that is actually distributed, horizontally scalable. It's schemaless, and then it has a very nice REST API to configure everything. It's actually, the configuration is really, really easy. You can do everything via the REST API, and you don't have, I mean, you can do easy configuration without setting your hair on fire. So the Rados Gateway metadata search with Elasticsearch. So what's the motivation behind this? So objects always have metadata associated with them. I mean, most basically the size and the M time and A time and stuff like this. That's the most basic metadata you have. And of course, you have custom metadata in terms of file system attributes or something like this and like that. So since it's an object storage, you do not have any more file system tools at your disposal as far as your Ceph cluster is concerned. And for a distributed system, you know, you cannot actually do a DU or a DF or these sort of standard command line tools you're normally accustomed to file systems. Currently, we already have some existing support in terms of admin ops REST API. But there are some problems with this in the terms of you can actually query for specific metadata with the admin ops API right now. So if you actually know what you're looking for, you can actually query the Rados Gateway. But there is another problem of, you know, there is no notification, you know, when new objects are created or new buckets are created or new users are created or anything like this. So you'd have to constantly pull the Rados Gateway, and that would not be nice. The other thing is it will be the same Rados Gateway that is actually being publicly facing customer-facing cluster that would be doing the metadata as well, and and many sites would not want that just for the performance. And as a storage administrator, you would be actually interested in, you know, interesting queries about your data, like what's your average cluster object size, or you know, how many uploads are there over the last few weeks, or how many uploads were there like last Friday, or how was the performance over the weekend, and something like this. And this is where your Elasticsearch can actually greatly simplify your life. So the design, we actually built on top of the multi-site architecture, which was introduced in the previous version of Ceph. So since we had to actually do a lot of asynchronous data shipping, we could actually build on top of that itself. So the Kraken release of Ceph, which is the previous release to the current one, we introduced a new feature called sync plugins, which are an interesting thing inside Rados Gateway, which allow you to actually operate on the metadata of objects. So for example, whenever objects are created or objects are modified or something like this, you always get a notification. And this is asynchronous, and then you can actually act on it. So you can actually write stuff. The Elasticsearch plugin was written as a plugin like that. And you can actually even write more interesting stuff, like you can actually synchronize your object storage to a remote cloud, for example, to Amazon S3 itself, or OpenStack Ceph cluster itself, or something like this. And so because of that, you actually need multiple zones. And the zones are similar to the Amazon concept of an availability zone or something like this. So your requests are essentially serviced by a zone. But you can actually have something called as a zone group, which is actually a collection of zones, which is similar to an Amazon concept of a region, if you're aware of it. And so in this case, you can actually have isolation that way, because you will have a zone which would be only doing metadata, and then this would not actually be affected anyway in your data path as far as your customer requests or, you know, any data requests are concerned. So there are some more caveats with this. The problem is that Elasticsearch doesn't have an off-the-shelf authentication module. So you cannot actually be exposing your Elasticsearch cluster itself to the public, because then everybody can query other metadata, and you do not actually want people to actually view other people's metadata. So ideally, we should just have the Elasticsearch thing endpoint only accessible to the cluster administrator. And to overcome that, Rados Gateway also implemented this feature where if you are a user and you want to actually look at your metadata via Elasticsearch, we implemented a front end for Elasticsearch queries so that we can authenticate the user and then process the Elasticsearch queries, which we essentially just forward to the Elasticsearch. And this way, we are actually circumventing the problem of authenticating the user and the user not seeing anybody else's data. And we are querying the Elasticsearch in the backend. And as an administrator, you can actually query the Elasticsearch directly, or you can even query where Rados Gateway will always override when you're an administrator. This is an approximate diagram of how the thing looks like. So you have a primary Rados Gateway, which should be, as far as end user is concerned, you would be only actually contacting one Rados Gateway, which is the primary Rados Gateway that serves your data. And then you would actually set up a secondary Rados Gateway in a remote zone. You can actually even set it up in a remote Ceph cluster so that you can be completely isolated. So for example, you want a very less performant hard disk-based cluster which can actually service Elasticsearch requests. And you can do something like that as well. So you can be completely isolated and have something that just processes metadata search, that just processes metadata and forwards stuff to Elasticsearch. And for end user queries itself, you can actually query the Rados Gateway with a search endpoint, and then that would actually redirect to the Elasticsearch and ensure that you can only access your own data, and authentication is handled that way. And this is the example of how the object metadata itself looks like at the current version. So you actually have tags for the bucket, which is the concept of a folder in Amazon S3. And then you actually show the owner of the object, and this is how we are actually authenticating and making sure that the only user with the specific ID can access the data, and the permissions field. And then you have metadata in terms of the size, m time, and then Amazon supports this concept of XAMZ meta tags, similar with OpenStack Swift as well. So when you actually upload an object, you can actually specify some external tags on the object, so you can actually say, this object is of color red, or this is of customer X, or something like this. And this is also actually indexed in the meta field, so you can actually query on your metadata, for example, what is a video or what is a JPEG file or something like this. And for example, as a cluster administrator, if you want to see, for example, what is your average size of objects, then you can actually ask Elasticsearch for it. And this is an example of such a query. You can ask, please aggregate your average size of objects. And Elasticsearch would respond to you with, saying, this many objects. We had a total of 22 objects, and the total size was 177 bytes or something like this. So this was just a toy cluster. But this ability makes it very easy to actually have very insightful data about your Ceph cluster. You can actually ask queries what was my uploads over the last week, or how many users are there, or how many users upload objects with more than 100 megabytes in size, and all these sort of things. And Elasticsearch will be very fast and respond to you a nice, fast JSON with this sort of a response. And the status in OpenSUSE. In OpenSUSE Factory, we already have Luminous 12.0.2. And the Elasticsearch plugin is already a part of it. And then the official release should be out in a month or something like this. So we would be actually having the Rados Gateway feature within pretty soon. As soon as it hit factory, you will actually have it in Tumbleweed and Leap. And then the devel package is File System Ceph. And these are the contribution links if you want to contribute. So we have a wiki called OpenSUSE Ceph, which actually has some distro-specific information. And we have a distro-specific mailing list as well, which is OpenSUSE Ceph mailing list, which is specifically for distro-related queries. And if you actually have queries related to Ceph itself, you should probably reach the upstream mailing list, the link below. And then we also have mailing lists for the Salt deployment tool DeepSea and OpenATTIC, which is the front end for managing Ceph clusters and stuff like this. And this is the upstream GitHub repo. And that concludes my talk. Questions?
Yeah, thanks. So we have a lot of applications for ELK, as you see, as metadata storage and search. logging, storage, and search, and that's all we are doing right now for Ceph. So it's not there yet, and we invite everyone to participate in this project in OpenSUSE. Questions? Any? No. Thank you very much.